And so in Genesis, it says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved. Now listen to what he says. And they will be mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. It's the promise that God had made to Abram. And God knew. Now listen, God was not surprised by anything that happened, any turn in the journey. God knew what was going to happen. And he told Abram, hey, listen, your descendants, there's going to come a moment in time, a moment in history, when they will be taken captive. And here's a story. How many of you heard of Joseph? Now this will be interactive. I really need you to help me because I don't know how much of the story to tell. How many of you heard of Joseph? And so All right, give it up for Joseph. And so Joseph, God used Joseph to be a blessing. Now get this, to the Egyptians. Anybody remember that part of the story? Joseph was a blessing to the Egyptians. Now, in turn, he was also a blessing to his people. You see, God had spoke to Joseph. Joseph knew there'd be 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine. All right, God told him that. Well, you know Joseph's story. His brothers sold him out, didn't they? Everybody remember that? Okay, thank you. That's good. His brothers sold him out. They dug a pit and they put him in a pit. Anybody ever been in a pit? Four of you, okay. Since there's only four, we got time to hear about it, right? And so his brothers threw him in a pit. Then they decided, you know what, we're not going to kill him. And so we're just going to sell him off. So they sell him to Potiphar. How many of you remember Potiphar? Okay, so Potiphar, real rich guy, has got all this stuff. Joseph is so good, and God blessed him so much, Potiphar makes him in charge of everything. And then guess who steps into the picture? Mrs. Potiphar, you may hear of her. The original cougar, right? All right, that's Mrs. Potiphar. And she said, Joseph looks good. And so she decided she wanted some of that. And so she goes after Joseph. She gets a hold of his robe, the Bible tells us, and Joseph just takes off running. I don't know if he's naked, if he's half naked, I don't know what. I had a Red Bull this morning, though, on the way here, so I'm about to explode. All right, so I may just blow up right here. And so Joseph takes off, and we know she makes an accusation. He goes to prison, and even in prison, God blesses Joseph, and he raises him up. Joseph prepares Egypt and all the surrounding region for a famine that will come in the last 7 years. And God uses Joseph to be a blessing, not only to the Egyptians, but to his own family who were starving and come to Egypt and get food. Why would God do this? Because God made a promise. And if God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank that he will deliver on the promise that he made. That's why Joseph was a blessing to the Egyptians. Now listen to what happens. Years and years later, a new Pharaoh comes into power. And he doesn't know about Joseph. And he doesn't know about how God used Joseph to bless him. And I guess the Israelites, they'd been getting busy and they were multiplying. And the new Pharaoh said, hey, these people, they're getting too big, too numerous. So we need to take control of them and enslave them. And that's exactly what happened. And the story goes on. Finally, the Pharaoh, the Israelites are growing so much. The Pharaoh says, any baby boy born, we're going to kill it. We're going to nip this in the bud. All right. And so we find Moses floating down the river in a little basket. That's how we found my sister, right? And he's floating. She's listening online, so you'll hear that. He's floating. Pharaoh's house gets hold of him, and they raise him. And the Bible tells us one day, Moses walks outside. And remember now, he's not like the Israelites. He's living plush. He's living in the palace, okay? And he goes out and he sees how the Israelites are being treated. And he doesn't like it. And the Bible says he takes the Egyptian guard and he kills him. And he takes him out and he buries him. And the next day he comes back and some of the Israelites are fighting among themselves. And Moses says, hey, don't be like that. And they said, oh, are you going to kill us too? And Moses takes off. And really, if you read the story, for all practical purposes, it sounds like Moses' life is over. He He's going to the backside of a desert. He's going to tend to some sheep, some goats. I don't know what you have in the desert, but that's what he's doing, waiting for the end of life to come. But God made a promise. And God is going to fulfill that promise. And God calls Moses. And this is what he says in Exodus chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, he says to Moses, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." That is my kind of land. Right? Because if there's milk, you can pretty much eat anything if you got a glass of milk. My kids got up this morning, they were upset and said, "Dad, did you eat our Valentine cookies?" That icing all over my teeth and my mouth. I was like, "No." Remember when God called Abram? Remember what he said? "Come and follow me to a land I will show you." Oh, don't you hate those kind of directions? I don't like that. Hey, I'm like, that sounds good, God, but hey, why don't you tell me where we're going? Because I might know a better way. I've got a tom-tom, right? So tell me where we're going. I'll just punch it in here. God, we can go with the least amount of miles, the least amount of time. I mean, I can get us there quick. But God doesn't do that. God says, no, follow me. Because here's the deal. Say God wants me to come over here, right? God can't tell me that he wants me to come over here, because if he tells me that, I'm gone. I'm headed that way, right? And God says, we're going over there, but we're going this way. And I'm saying, God, what are we doing going this way? I mean, we're trying to get over there, so why are we going this way? Because everybody knows, over here is just darkness. Over here is just difficult times. Over here is just suffering. Over here is where the sinners sit at Hillview, right? Everybody already knows that anyway, right? That's what's, God, what are we doing here? God, if we're trying to get over there, why are we wasting our time right here? And God says this, there is something over there that you've got to have if you're going to make it over there. So follow me, Jamie, because you don't know what you're going to need over there. You've never been over there. But I know what's over there, and I know what you're going to need over there. And so we're going to follow him, and he's going to take us to some tough places, some difficult places. We're going to have to go through some tough times. Now, I am aware, because I've upset a couple people today. I am aware that the Bible says that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you could say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will. Oh, now 9:30 just blew you guys away. I'm going to give you one more chance. Now, you know, the Bible says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will. Woo! That was good. I almost did a toe touch right there. I held off. But here's the deal. Here's how I upset a couple people. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I am noticing most of the mountains God's not moving. Have you noticed that? I know people that have stood at the foot of a mountain for 30 years and said, God, move it. And he's not moving it. If he's not moving it, it's because he's not going to take it out of your way. He's going to take you over it. But you've got to be willing to follow him. You got to be willing to do that. See, listen, he says here, I've indeed heard the cries of my people. Let me show you something. Let's say that we got two scales right here, two things. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But here's the deal. And no offense to you guys, because I know I've already offended everybody on this side. And in fear of not offending them, I'm just going to keep offending you. So let's say that right here is as far away as I can get from God. Right here, okay? But now, on the other end over here by the holy people, right here, is as close as I can get to God. Okay? How many of you like this place? Pitiful. How many of you like this place? All right. It's Sunday morning. Just pretend you like it. We're at church. Okay. Now, here's the second one. And here's this. This is super comfortable. All right? How many of you like super comfortable? All right. I love it. And then over here, uncomfortable. Now, I remember one time our family was going through a hard time. I'll come back to that. Our family's going through a hard time, and I just remember my wife had went to bed, the kids had went to bed, and I was just up and I was just agonizing. I had done everything that I know to do. And I've been in church a long time. I know a lot of things to do, and I did all those things. I knew all the right things to say, and I said all those things. I knew the prayers to pray, and I prayed all those prayers. That was awesome. You did awesome. That was cool. I'd done all those things. But finally that night, I just laid there in the chair, and I just didn't know what else to do. And it was like God picked me up and threw me on the ground. And man, I'm just on the ground, and I'm just praying. And I'll tell you this. You know, to this point in my life, it's one of the sweetest times I've had with God in that moment. Well, more recently, we were going through some hard times. And I, once again, had done everything I knew to do, said everything I knew to say, prayed everything I knew to pray. And all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, I haven't got on the ground and prayed. And so I got a pillow out because I've got a bump on my knee right there that really hurts, you know, when you get on the ground like that. So I put the pillow down. When you have this much volume in this little space, it may take some time to get down there, you know. So I'm reaching, grabbing, laying down, you know. Wanting another cushion to lay on my chest because that helps every, you know what I mean? And so I do that and I start to pray, and all I can think about is the hundreds of pounds that are crushing my ribs into the ground. I'm trying to pray and I'm like, Lord, this is killing me. Golly, the pillow slipped and the bump on my knee was hitting the ground. It hurt. And I guess all that weight was right on my bladder because I'm trying to pray. And all I can think is, I got to go to the bathroom. And it's going to take me 5 minutes just to get up. Because it doesn't work like that. Here, what am I wanting? I'm wanting to be as close to God as I can and be as comfortable as I can be. And God said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out, and I'm coming to rescue them. Listen, God wasn't caught off guard by what was going on. God knew all along what would happen. He told Abram that it was going to happen. He knew there were going to be mountains that would be in the way, seemingly blocking the promises that God has made. But God knew the mountains were there. And it was God's desire to take His people over the mountain. But I want to be really super comfortable. I mean, that's what I want. And so for me, I said one Wednesday night, I was saying, you know, if you're here and you have any of us pastors on a pedestal, it's because you're new. And I said, give us a chance. We'll let you down. And where I'm at on this, you know, I realize I'm gonna have to give up some comfort to really follow God. And so I'm like around here. I don't want to be too uncomfortable, but I want to be close to God, you know? And in some kind of ways, I want it both ways. I want to pick up one of these and turn them around. Because I want to be really honest with you. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus is one of the most difficult things you will do on this earth. It is difficult because He doesn't call us to comfort and to ease. He does say that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And what He means by that is if you follow Me, there's nothing that you can't get through. And some of you this morning, you're at the foot of that mountain and you're praying for God to move it. But I want to tell you, maybe He's not going to move it. Maybe He wants you to go over it. And if that's what He is going to do, He gives you the strength to get over it. He gives you the wisdom to get over that. But listen, this is not a time for the faint of heart to be following Jesus, because it's going to get difficult. It's going to get hard. There are going to be some pits. I mean, look at Joseph. God used Joseph in unbelievable ways, but the only way Joseph could be prepared to be used the way that God used him was there had to be a pit. And there had to be a prison. And there had to be a mountain for Joseph to be ready for God to use him the way that He wanted to use him. Listen to me. You have been created for the glory of God, every one of you. And God wants to use you. And He's so committed to fulfilling the promises that He's made that He'll take you through hell and back so that you're ready
to do what he wants you to do, so that you're ready to be who he wants you to be. Because he's going to make you more like Jesus. And let me say this, if you're a Christian, he's going to make you more like Jesus, whether you like it or not. So there are some pits in the planner, right? And there are some prisons in the planner. And God is willing to use those things in our lives to shape us and to mold us and to make us more like Jesus. Because don't miss this part of the promise. Yes, God said he would bless us. My personal favorite part of the promise. Anybody else?
I'm not even going to go on until everybody responds.
I mean, it is. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to be blessed, right? But listen to the promise that he would bless us so that we would be a blessing. Literally, God is preparing us to be a blessing to the nations. 43 people got saved in Costa Rica. I think God was preparing some people, don't you? And who knows how God's going to prepare those 43 and where they're going to go to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Listen, there are going to be some pits and there are going to be some palaces, right? But you're going to have to go through the pit to get to the palace. You're going to have to go through the prison to get through the palace. Because we find in Joseph, the palace is one of the places God really wanted to use him. But he couldn't just stroll in. God used the pit. He used the prison. Because there were things Joseph was going to have to get there to be prepared to be used by God over here. I want to ask you, because I'm in this battle, I just want to be really comfortable. And before Jesus, this place was incredible. Because not only was I comfortable in my sin, I was loving it. Anybody else? I mean, it was like, let's have a party for sin. I was loving it. We're videotaping it, right? I mean, that's this place. And then Jesus comes in. And Jesus saves us. And all of a sudden, there's this struggle we've never had before. The struggle over sin in our life. The struggle over wanting to be comfortable, but knowing that we need to be as close to God as we can get. And then we see this promise. And God tells Abram, I'm going to do all these phenomenal things. I mean, there is a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to take you there. And here's the thing. The only people complaining about the pit and the prison are the people who haven't had the milk and honey yet. The people that had the milk and honey, it's not that they'd look back and say, oh, I wish I could go through it all again. Did you hear me? Because I'm wanting to be really honest with you. It's not that they're like, oh, I wish we could go through it all again. They're not saying that, but you know what they are saying? He is worthy. He is worthy. I want to close with a story that I know I've told before, but I want to share it for those who haven't heard it as they come for our time of altar. When I was a youth pastor, I told you the story about we hired this intern kid. And I want to tell this story just to illustrate the difference between those who are standing at the foot of the mountain wondering if they're going to climb and those who are on the other side. And a lot of you here this morning, you've made it to the other side. God has brought you through some difficult things. And he's used those things, those moments, those experiences to shape you and to draw you closer to him. Well, so we hire this kid to be our intern. And we do what you do when you're a youth pastor in the summer. You know, you go to summer camp, you do those kind of things. So we hire this kid and I take him to camp. And I don't know much about him. He shared a little bit of his story. And one thing I do know, his family went through some horrific things. He experienced things as a kid that, you know, most people don't experience. And what I'm trying to tell you is this kid had been over the mountain. God had brought his family over the mountain, and there was a maturity about this kid. I mean, he was still the age he was and still had some issues. But this kid, you could tell he'd been with God. You could tell that God had brought him through some really difficult things, and this kid had just had a gratefulness. So here's the deal. So it's the first night of youth camp, and we're having worship. And so we're at a Baptist youth camp, and the way Baptists operate is, when do you stand up? When somebody tells you to.
Let's all stand.
And it's just like drones everywhere. Everybody's like, right?
You may be seated.
You know that? I mean, that's how it works. So we're in worship. And all of a sudden, in the middle of everything, nobody's told us to do anything yet. This kid just stands up and says, thank you, Jesus, thank you, like that. And all the kids are looking at me because I'm the youth pastor. And they're like, what's he doing? I was like, I don't know. I didn't hear anybody say stand up. Did I miss it? Did somebody say no? You know, so I wanted to try to reach this kid and get him to sit down without standing up myself. You know, so I'm trying to reach him. And finally, somebody says, let's all stand. And I was like, okay. We're okay. So I just let that slide, right? And so the next morning, they have this adult prayer time. Elizabeth, you remember when you're at camp and they have the adult prayer time, right? And so we go and we walk in and nobody's there. And it was early. I mean, I got up for this thing and nobody was there. And I said, well, can you believe that? Well, let's just go on to breakfast, you know, and because I was a spiritual one. And he says, well, we could just go ahead and pray. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to tell us to start? You know, and so he's like, you know, well, I'll pray. And I was like, okay. So I bowed my head and closed my eyes because God doesn't hear you when you pray if your eyes aren't closed. Everybody knows that. And so he starts praying and it's like this. Dear God, I just ask you, Lord, you know, and I'm like looking for my cell phone. I'm a Kyle 911. Something's happening. But I, you know, and I can't look at him because we're praying, you know, to see if he needs help. And so I do just kind of peek over and he's just laying on the ground. His mouth is all smashed up against the ground. And I was thinking, gross, you know. And I, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know if he's, you know, I'm just kind of looking. You know, all of a sudden two youth pastors come in and I was like, because I couldn't scoot that way because there's a body on the ground, you know? And I'm just, I would love to tell you this morning that I was embarrassed for this kid. I'd really love to tell you I was embarrassed for God. But I honestly was just embarrassed for me because he was my intern. And he gets done and he just kind of springs up, you know, he's 19 years old and he just kind of springs up and he's got stuff all over his face. Hair, carpet, yeah, I know, it was gross, I was there. Carpet remnants, food, you know, and I'm just so bad. I'm just, you know, want to say, you know, come here. But I promise you, it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, that stuff on his face, it's holy. Don't touch it. You see, this kid, he'd been over the mountain. And when you've been over the mountain, you lay down and pray in front of people. You don't care. You're not worried about everybody else. This kid had been over the mountain. And I'm going to tell you this. Because when you've been over the mountain, that's the only time when you can truly say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. You can't really say that unless you've been over the mountain. And I hate to disappoint you, but God hasn't put the mountain in the way just so He can move it so that you'll have more faith in Him. Most of the time, that mountain is in front of you because God intends for you to journey over the mountain and all that that entails. And it's only when you've been over the mountain that you say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is him who makes a promise and keeps it. Worthy is him who not only saved me, but will complete me. The Bible says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And here's my question, and we'll end on this morning. If you now believe that this is a God who hears the cries of his people, and if you don't believe that, you weren't listening, because he said that. If you believe that this is a God who hears the cries of his people, my question is, why aren't his people crying out? But the intention, as Pastor Steve and Pastor Jeff and Eric and David and Keith, as we met and we were talking about these things, and talking about what it means to follow Jesus and what this promise means and the implications of the promise for our lives. We know that God's promise, listen, look, God's promise is going to drag us from super comfortable to uncomfortable. Because sometimes the question I have for God is, when is it ever going to seem like it's going to be easy? When's it ever going to not be difficult? When is there ever not going to be a pit, not going to be a prison, not going to be a mountain? And God says, as long as you're here and you're following me, never. Because I haven't made you for here. He told Abram, the Israelites will be strangers in a foreign land. And this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a stranger in a foreign land. You don't belong here. But as long as we're here, there'll be sickness, and there'll be disease, and there'll be tears, and there'll be heartache, and there'll be all those things. But church, listen, the promise is that a day is coming. The promise is there is a land flowing with milk and honey. We call it heaven. The promise is one day there'll be no more tears. If you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or let me say it like this. If you're here this morning and you're not sure whether or not you'll go to heaven, I want you to know, if you're not sure, that's not because of God. That's because of you. The Bible says these things have been written to them who believe in the name of the Son of God so that they will know that they have been saved. And I tell you this morning, because there's no doubt on a Sunday morning in Bowling Green here at Hillview Heights Church, there's somebody or probably many folks who have come and said, you know, there's just some things I've done. And I don't know that God can really forgive me. And I just say to you, every one of us in this room thought that. Every one of us in this room wondered if God could really reach us where we were. And you know what all of us learned? You're never out of the grasp of God. Nothing trumps the cross. Nothing. Nothing you've done, no place you've been trumps that cross. He loves you and he will forgive you. He will save you. We're going to have a time of altar and folks are going to come up to pray. And if you're here and you're not sure about heaven, I'd invite you just to come. Us pastors will be up here. We would love to pray with you, to talk with you. But let's be a people who cry out. Let's be a people who are willing to get on our faces. Let's be a people who will stop waiting for the mountain to be moved and trust God to take us over the mountain. Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you for your provision, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your grace, for the way you draw us to you. And it seems that when you draw us to you, you draw us out of comfort. And I thank you for the pit and the prison and the mountain where you gave me things that I would need when I got to the palace. I pray that every person here, Lord Jesus, know that you created them for your glory. That you knew them before they were in their mother's womb. And even then, you had a plan for their life. And no matter what decisions they've made up to this moment, they are not out of your grasp. And nothing they've done trumps what you've already done on the cross. And I pray that people this morning would bow a knee to you. May we be a people who cry out to you, O Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.